Holy Gospel today is taken from the first chapter of Mark. Then they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. I was looking through this Gospel text, or thinking about this Gospel text, and I was talking with a friend yesterday. Beth and I were up watching Grace, our daughter, bowl, and she made it to state in bowling, which is exciting as an individual, so next week she'll see how she bowls. And but as we're doing that, I had a friend, Dave, who, if you read our newsletter, he helped me kind of comprise the newsletter article that I wrote in there. So you can check that out or check it online. We have it on there too. But I asked him, I told him the story. Jesus is in a synagogue and he's teaching with authority. So he's like me here in his Crocs sandals, and well, maybe not Crocs sandals, but sandals. And he's teaching with authority, that is, with God's power. That's what that words mean. God's power is flowing through him. And they're amazed, the text says. And then right in the midst of it, this person with the unclean spirit interrupts everything. Says, "I know who you are. What have you to do with us? What's going to happen?" And what's Jesus' response? "Be silent and get out." The guy convulses, the spirit leaves, and he continues teaching with authority. And so I asked my friend, as we were driving around, because I went to visit Len Booth in Seattle yesterday, because we were in Tacoma, and my friend accompanied me just in the journey. Dave is his name, and I said, "So that's the story. What should I preach about? What do you think this story is about?" Now he is agnostic, is self-described, so he's not a faithful person. Although he grew up, he's not. Proclaims his faith as we do. He is a very faithful person. But God is, he's working on it. It's a work in progress. But he said, "Well, I like this story, or I think about this story, and I think about Jesus," and he said this: "We are bits and pieces of Jesus in the synagogue. We are bits and pieces of Jesus in the synagogue." So what he said, what he meant by that was, in a scene before this, Jesus is baptized. We just heard that a couple weeks ago. So Jesus is baptized, he goes down, and when he comes out of the water, the heavens are ripped open, and a dove comes down, and the divine and human just merge and mix in a mysterious, crazy way. And that's how Jesus starts off his ministry. And he says, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near. Let's go, follow me." So now we're in this scene here, and the same kind of thing happens, kind of a craziness thing. This person comes and is convulsed and is a spirit, and Jesus says, "Get out, because the reign of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. God's power and love, love your neighbor as yourself, is here now." That overrides everything, every aspect of life, all of who we are. That's where Jesus is standing. So in this moment, in this place, my friend says, and so that's that scene now, but now we, because we're, he said, created in the image of God, we can be like Jesus. And Jesus says that, go love, you can do it. You can go take out unclean spirits of people. You can exorcise folks. You can heal. You will do all those things because you are in God's image like I am. So that's why he came up with, we are bits and pieces of Jesus in the synagogue. And so I'm thinking about that, and I liked that image, because bits and pieces often can be bits and pieces of love when you start putting those things together, or when you start putting people together. If I'm in the image of God and Pastor Beth is in the image of God with less of a concussion now, and Ann is in the image of God, and Gail and Dave and Karen and Sachi and Chuck, and well, I'm just looking at people with their name tags because I don't want to forget your name, so and Ray and me, when you build those pieces of God, those little bits and pieces up, it can be a powerful thing. And that's what Jesus says. You guys will do more amazing things than I can. Especially where two or three are gathered in my name. Amazing things will happen. Bits and pieces of Jesus. That's who we are. So I was thinking about that, and then Dave brought up, now sometimes it might not just be in the synagogue. It could be outside of that. And I was thinking about that. I'm reading this book called Philip Yancey's Vanishing Grace, Whatever Happened to the Good News? And his point in this book is that some Christians get so carried away with being right and right doctrine that grace is lost. Lutherans probably take a more approach of starting with grace, and maybe, you know, we're not quite as... this church is not quite as stringent. But so he's talking about vanishing grace. And he quotes this guy, Jonathan Sacks, who says, he's the former chief rabbi of Great Britain. He says, the Hebrew Bible in one verse commands, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But in no fewer than 36 places commands us to love the stranger. He adds, the supreme religious challenge is to see God's image in one who is not in our image. So what that quote tells me is that there may be people, bits and pieces of Jesus that are outside of the synagogue, or that are outside of St. Mark, the ELCA. And I thought of, how could that work? And I thought of the person that comes up, and I'm going to say her name as best I can. See if you know this name. Malala Yousafzai. 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 Yousafzai? Yes. This is the person who actually shared the Nobel Prize for Peace this past year. You can, you know, look it up yourself, but Malala Yousafzai is her name. She was 17 when she received the prize, the youngest person to receive it. And they chose her because when she was 15... she was on a bus and going to school, and she was part of a demonstration in Pakistan to have education be a right for kids. And she and some other kids were doing that, and the Taliban came and shot her and some other kids, and she survived. And so as she's going to accept this thing, her school clothes were brought as a reminder and a remembrance of what happened, and of this bravery of this our daughter's 17, of this 17-year-old girl, this young woman who is accepting a peace prize in the name of fighting for education for her and for the people of her age all over the world. That is a pretty good example of a stranger, someone outside the synagogue, being a pretty big bit, a pretty big piece made in the image of God, and showing that love and that grace and that mercy in the world. And she happens to be Muslim as well. A wonderful piece of God working. You don't know how God's going to work. It's going to be like in that synagogue. Something's going to happen, and God will disruptively change the whole situation. Whether it's through Jesus, whether it's through a 17-year-old in Pakistan, or whether it's through even one of us. Bits and pieces of Jesus. That's who we are. Like Jesus, we are created in God's image to share and show love. I mentioned I had gone and seen Len Booth up in Harborview. And when I, you know, went and Tom, when I talked with him, and he seemed in pretty good spirits for where he was in his life right now. We were talking for a while. I talked with him about tomatoes. I told him it was 64 degrees the other day, and that blew his mind because that's just a huge temperature for here. It was a record, you know, last week. And I asked him, well, let's pray. You know, what would you like to pray about? I always ask people to, you know, what would you like to pray about? And so he said, well, I'd like to pray for hands. I'd like to pray for me to have hands to be able to finish doing what I need to do. And I want to pray for hands for you, Pastor, so that you can do what God calls you to do. And hands for others, so that they can do what God calls them to do. And, you know, this is one of those moments where, as pastors, we're trying to dispense grace, and that's our job, and we receive grace all the time, but it always comes unexpectedly, as it did in that moment. You know, Len, who is there in the bed and, you know, has had a lot of things happen to him in his life, is praying for me. He is definitely a wonderful, grace-filled piece of Jesus coming to me in that moment. So the bottom line of this story, in this story, God works through Jesus. And now it's our story. And we, with Jesus, are the bits and pieces of grace and love and mercy, made in God's image to share the hands of God with the world. Amen.